but I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul was a great preacher, but he learned that from experience. He went around during his three missionary trips, and one important stop in Athens, he learned a great deal. In Athens, he was invited to speak by the leading citizens of the town. They would often invite speakers to come to the central area, Mars Hill. And so they invited St. Paul. And St. Paul carefully thought about what he was going to say there. At least he thought so. He begins his homily by saying that I've walked around your city and I noticed there are various altars to various gods. One altar is named to the unknown God. And it is this God I wish to speak to you about. Now, from a point of homiletics, that's a wonderful beginning. He uses something in common that everybody notices, everybody knows. And then he quotes to them from one of their poets, another great beginning to a homily. But then he starts talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As soon as he mentions the resurrection, they stopped him. They thanked him for coming, and then they left. In short, St. Paul's stay in Athens was a failure. Athens, the great university town of all these intellectuals, didn't want to hear about the resurrection. St. Paul established no church in Athens. He wrote no letter to the Athenians. From Athens, St. Paul walked to the next stop, about 40 miles south. A town that was completely different from Athens. It was a port city with all the port people. And there, St. Paul realized his mistake because he realized that in Athens he never mentioned Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And with that message, he converted thousands in Corinth. He established the church there and wrote two letters that we know of that are in our New Testament. So Christ Jesus and Him crucified is central to who we are as Catholic Christians. It is by His wounds, as fulfilled in the prophecy of Isaiah, that we are healed. I mentioned this last week and how the cross and Christ Jesus is so central to the Mass. That when we come to Mass, we are at the most sacred place in time and history. We are at the foot of the cross at every Mass. Consequently, the Mass is the highest form of worship in this world. That might sound audacious, but it's true objectively. We understand what the Mass is really all about. We are at the very place of our redemption, celebrating what Christ did for us on the cross, and then to receive from Him grace upon grace, to receive from Him His own body and blood, His own soul and divinity in the Eucharist. Take and eat, take and drink. Do this in memory of me. So we do this Sunday after Sunday, Mass after Mass. But that 1 hour Sunday Mass is not the be-all and end-all of who we are as Catholic Christians. We are to be a light to the world for the rest of the week. We are to be the salt in the world. How? By what we say and don't say, by what we do and don't do, we're called to be disciples. We're called to go out of ourselves. We're called to be people of prayer. As St. Paul says, to pray always. And that's something that we should take up, that challenge, to praying always. From the very first moments of our day when we offer our morning offering to the Lord, to our prayers before and after meals, to our nighttime prayers before we go to sleep. Prayer should be who we are in Christ Jesus. Family prayer, the wonderful expression of Vatican II that the home is the domestic church, should be ringing in all of our homes. Family prayer, family rosary, family scripture. The home, think on this, the home should be a sanctuary from the pagan world. We're called to develop that attitude of heart and mind, not only in our hearts, but in our homes. And then we go outward to the wider community. And we're called to do that. We're called to go out of ourselves. Now the church has categorized these works that we're called to do as spiritual and corporal. Corporal means bodily. We're called to do bodily works to help others. Here are just a few of the corporal works of mercy we're called to do. Feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, the imprisoned, burying the dead. Now, all of us are called in some way to engage ourselves in these activities. We can help feed the poor by helping with our food pantry here at St. Mary's. We could shelter the homeless. Well, of course, I get requests from time to time. I try to help out when I can. That comes from your donations. Put people up at hotels at various places. Clothing the naked. We should be looking to simplify our wardrobe. Giving what is good to Goodwill or other worthy agencies. Visiting the sick. We should be mindful of those who are ill, the homebound of the parish. They get visited once a week. Maybe you could help out with this ministry. We do need help. Now, visiting the imprisoned is another issue. It's harder to do that. But we can at least pray for those who are in jails and in prisons. Burying the dead. Not all of us can take up a shovel or a backhoe, but we can certainly pray for the poor souls. We could help out at the funeral dinners. I would love to have a funeral choir here at St. Mary's. What a wonderful ministry it is to families in their sorrow to have human voices praying for their loved ones. Again, these are bodily things we are called to do. After that, we are called for spiritual works of mercy too. The first of which is instructing the ignorant. When I taught high school at Alleman Catholic High School for 3 years, I would remind the students that they're not stupid, but they are ignorant. And one or two would get upset with me. Then I have to explain to them, ignorance simply means that we don't know something. We're all born ignorant. But yet we have a wonderful ability, a faculty of rationality to engage our minds, to understand the things of the world, but also the things of God. And we're called to engage that in ourselves. So when we say instructing the ignorant, we should be starting with ourselves, Advising the doubtful, consoling the sorrowful. These are spiritual works we're called to help out in the world. Comforting the sick. Lastly, forgiving and bearing wrongs patiently. We're called to be examples like Christ was for us. As he was led to the cross, as he was led to the crucifixion, the prophecy of Scripture that he would be like a lamb before its shearers, silent, not crying out. Now he did suffer terribly, but he bore it manfully. Now we are to take up our cross, whatever that cross is, and do likewise. I usually do it to myself. 100 years, this little minor thing isn't going to make a big difference. So bear wrongs patiently. Forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. Go over and above what we're called to do. And when we engage all of these things, we do so not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is in us. It is His light that we are to let shine before others. And when we do that, Jesus says, we glorify His Heavenly Father. So we're called to do good deeds. Not that good deeds can get us into heaven, huh? No. By themselves, they're nothing. But with God's grace, they make all the difference in the world. So as we continue with this Mass, let us pray for ourselves, that we're called to engage ourselves, not just one Sunday, one Mass, once a week, but every day should be a day of prayer, a day of opportunity to let the light of Christ shine before others.